The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's Public Affairs program is Mike Hohenbrink at the Calmer Courier. Mike, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you, Senator. A recent bill proposed has as its target the RFS for elimination. You've long been a proponent of the RFS, as I understand it. Is it realistic that either now or in the near term that some kind of bill might actually pass that would eliminate the RFS?
No, I don't think so. I think it's put in as a messaging tool. I think it's something that big oil is promoting. I think the people that are sponsoring it doesn't even know as much about ethanol as they think they do. And I would say that the chances of getting some legislation passed that's very pro-RFS is difficult. But RFS is part of permanent law, and after 2022, the EPA is going to decide exactly what the gallonage is from corn ethanol, because the law up until 2022 guarantees at least 15 billion gallons, but we don't have any reason to believe that that EPA won't at least do 15 billion or more gallons anyway. And for sure, there's going to be a more favorable view towards ethanol in this administration than compared to the previous one. And I say that knowing that Trump was very pro-ethanol. I want to make that point. But we always were fighting a big voice that some reason in EPA under the Trump administration, the director always listened to the oil companies, and everything the president told us was then dealt a lot of uncertainty by things that the EPA would say, maybe expressing the point of view of oil. This administration's no friend of big oil, so I think we're going to have a stronger voice in EPA for RFS and biofuels generally. Yeah, it might be a little easier for those of us that have to fight. The only negative thing towards RFS isn't the bill that you're asking about. It's the fact that we've recently had three court decisions that for some reason or other all tended to be towards things that EPA was trying to do to help ethanol weren't within the law, and the court struck them down. But that just puts us back. Instead of having the court decisions backing us up, it takes us back to where we were under Obama and Trump, and now Biden, where we got to use political pressure on EPA to make sure that ethanol gets a fair shake, or biofuels generally get a fair shake.
Okay. Senator, Nancy Pelosi's rejection of two of the Republican nominees to the Jan 6 Commission drew a rather sharp GOP response. Is this thing dead in the water, or do you see the Jan 6 Commission continuing?
No, it's a House of Representatives committee, select committee they call it. It's not really the commission approach that was earlier in April or so that didn't get through the Senate. She set up this select committee, and it's completely contrary to the whole history of the House of Representatives. Throughout the whole history of the House of Representatives for 200 years, Democrats always put on their members, and Republicans always put on their members. So McCarthy put on five Republicans, and she didn't like two of them. Because they were going to ask questions that would be embarrassing to her, because she had a lot to say about safety and security around the U.S. Capitol prior to January 6th. And there's evidence that she didn't take advantage of a lot of offers of help or information she got that there could be a dangerous situation, which evolved. And I don't think she wants to deal with banks and with Jordan. Those are people who would ask those embarrassing questions, and so she kicked them off. So McCarthy's going to keep all five Republicans off. But remember that this is the first time that the majority has not let the minority appoint their members.
Okay. Senator, recently, rather surprising, the Supreme Court announced that it would take up, first time, I'm not sure if this has been done before, but an actual challenge to Roe v. Wade. I guess it's scheduled to be heard by December. Texas, in response, has passed what it's looking at as a kind of a trigger bill that would actually take effect if something were to be struck down. Is this something that might be on congressional radar? Is there something that Congress itself might do should Roe v. Wade actually fall?
Well, Roe v. Wade won't fall. This is a case of to what extent can states shorten up the period of time that an abortion can be denied. That would be basically viability, because under Roe v. Wade, states only have the leeway of putting any restrictions on abortion during the third trimester. So then, with science and medicine devolving as it is, to determine, like, you know, you've heard about babies being born in 25 weeks or so, maybe only weighing a couple pounds, but living to be normal people. It may sound inconceivable, but that's medicine today. So then the question comes, in the last 50 years of Roe v. Wade, what is viability? Well, it's sooner than the third trimester. So some states have decided to protect life in the womb to that extent. So the Mississippi case that's going to the Supreme Court is going to say, at a period of time, you can't have an abortion after, I don't know what the Mississippi law says, but it's a lot sooner than the third trimester. So if the Supreme Court would uphold that law, it doesn't repeal Roe v. Wade. And the other thing is, if sometime down the road, like maybe the Texas law is an example, if that it would reach the Supreme Court 5 or 6 years from now, and let's say Roe v. Wade was overturned, then, you know, you're going to have states that are going to allow abortions, because before Roe v. Wade, there were 50 different state laws. But after Roe v. Wade, all those laws were struck down.
And finally, Senator, your office had mentioned recently about the prospect of imports of Canadian prescription medications. Are we likely to see any movement on that front coming up?
Yeah. I wrote a letter about that, but I've also voted several times to do that, and we've never got a bill to the president. But I think with this president and this administration, as well as the Trump administration, you're reaching a point where we might be able to get drugs from Canada. It may not take a law to do it. Maybe the administration can do it by executive order. I can't answer that question, but I would vote for a law that did it. Now, when will that get done? I don't know, but I think we're getting closer to the day that it will be law. In the meantime, I'm not going to wait for importation of drugs from Canada. I've got my own Grassley-Wyden bill in that would reduce the cost of prescription drugs. It's got several parts, but the main part is you can't have year-over-year increase in prescription drugs more than the CPI, which now it might be 5%, but for 10 or 15 years, it wasn't more than 2%, the CPI. Okay, did you say that was your last question?
That was, sir. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Mike, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to People of Iowa.